Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for starting the weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Wanilla.
That would be a little weird. Can we get a vanilla ice cream?
A vanilla Churn vanilla. And
Spoon? There we go.
There we go.
I had the, I had the king cake ice cream.
That?
Fantastic.
It is the time of year for king cake. It is Mardi Gras time down here in the South. We will not put our toe in the water of the whole Mobile versus New Orleans debate. That feels like it's very contentious. We got enough contentiousness to talk about with State and Ole Miss this weekend. But if you enjoy king cake, both Strange Brew here and Churn and Spoon here in Starkville have great products. Strange Brew has the frappes, and of course you can get the ice cream over at Churn and Spoon, all made with their freshly baked king cakes, all local, fantastic. Enjoy the Mardi Gras season with a trip to Strange Brew or Churn and Spoon. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. And even if you're not cooking out and you just want to go out and grab a great meal, man, go hit up one of our great steakhouses or burger joints here in the state of Mississippi. Robbie and I were talking earlier today about the Beef Council. Like, you know, if we could do a tour for the Beef Council like we do for Catfish, you're talking about we could hit – there's no restaurant in the state we couldn't go to.
Endless opportunities.
So if you're listening, Mississippi Beef Council, and you'd like to have two wild and crazy guys doing that tour for you, just let us know. But between now and then, Robbie and I will continue to eat beef because it's delicious. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you need, and you do need it. It is a new year. You need new gear. You need the logos that we're all wearing now, the state script, the interlocking, the M over S. Out with the old, in with the new. Get the great stuff at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area. Originally by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Robbie and I have just returned from Restaurant Tyler. Today's podcast may just be us taking a nap.
It's just going to be us snoring in front of the camera.
Mr. State Ole Miss.
It was
so good. So good. I have been satiated.
It was quite filling.
Yes. Blackened catfish, extra filet, cheese grits, mac and cheese, fried chicken.
Fried chicken.
Mashed potatoes and gravy. And yeah, black-eyed peas, right?
Black-eyed peas.
I mean, that's Southern.
Smothered in the crawfish sauce.
Oh, the crawfish sauce.
I actually...
Right over the top.
I actually dipped the chicken with the crawfish sauce into my mashed potatoes and gravy. And that was an incredible mixture.
Incredible.
It was fantastic.
That is Southern cooking at its best. The
yes,
best blue plate in the state of Mississippi. I say it once, I'll say it again. It's at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only where they're located, they're going to show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You can't afford to be on hold. You can't afford to wait around. You can't afford to get the runaround. You need to have a bank like Priority One Bank that values service and values its community above all. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority.
Did you? I just saw this from WCBI, the weather folks over there.
Yeah.
Good folks. There's about to be, apparently, I think 60 consecutive hours below freezing, at or below freezing, from Sunday evening into Wednesday.
It is going to be
32 or below the entire time, like for 3 days.
Next week's podcast, we're both going to be on the same side of the camera, just huddled up next to each other for warmth.
We're going to have our own fire in here. We're just going to have, you know, some sticks lit on fire in
yeah,
the back.
Yeah. It's going to be cold, is what you're trying to say.
That's what it appears is coming our way. So make sure that you're letting your pipes drip. We have a fire lit in your house, all that good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Take care of your pets.
Well, cold
get
weather.
Get them spay and neutered.
Okay, Bob called out over there. Instead of Bob Barker, it's Rob Faulkner over there. So, cold weather coming, but hot, hot basketball this weekend. Hot. With Mississippi State taking Ole Miss, not only on the men's side, but on the women's side. Back-to-back games in the Humphrey Coliseum. We'll talk a little bit more about the men's game with Michael Borky in just a bit. We'll start with the men as well here. You and I talked yesterday about, you know, must win, call it what you will. Again, I don't know if must win is the case this early in the season. They could certainly lose this game and then turn around and reel off some wins. I think just from a confidence standpoint, though, State needs this, especially against an Ole Miss team that should be brimming with confidence the way they've been playing the start of SEC play, and to go on the road against a top five. I don't know if we're giving enough weight to the historical significance of that win. It is legitimately maybe the biggest win in Ole Miss regular season basketball history. They've won a couple of SEC tournaments. They've won a couple games in the NCAA tournament. But in terms of in the SEC in the regular season, that's their first ever top five road win.
Mm-hmm.
So a really big win for them. This is an Ole Miss team that, you know, when we've talked about them, we've said, you know, when they make shots, they're very dangerous. If you can, they maybe struggle a little bit if you can slow down their offense. But defensively, they've been playing really, really well. And then on the other side of that, Mississippi State's defense these last two games has not been great. State's got to turn that around. They have to be the better defensive team in this game if they want to have a chance to win.
They do. They got to defend the perimeter. And, you know, you also have a load inside that you got to defend in Dia. I mean, he has been the difference for them, and especially in the first part of SEC play, getting him out of the transfer portal was big time. And you look at what he did against Alabama the other night. I mean, there's no question that he was the difference in that game. So that's a load to defend. He's a big guy that can step out and shoot it. He's rebounded it exceptionally well to this point. It's it's a mismatch for most teams. And so for Mississippi State, how do you attack that, or how do you defend that? That's going to be, to me, the biggest chess match. This is an Ole Miss team that they're not a real high-scoring team. They can put up some big numbers, but it's not a team that's just, you know, putting up 90 points a game.
Yeah.
I think they're averaging 70, over 70 sticks or something like that. And so that to me is like the biggest thing is like they've defended really well. They're giving up 62 a game in conference play, 72 points offensively a game. They've just done a really good job, especially in the second half, of adjusting and just figuring out a way to beat opposing teams. And I was just really impressed with what Malik Dia did the other night. I was kind of flipping back and forth when I could to watch both games. When I saw that Ole Miss looked like they were kind of in control, I wanted to see how that game was playing out.
Mm-hmm.
And it truly was kind of like, you know, Malik Dia was really dictating things on that end of the floor. But also what they did defensively on Alabama to turn him over 20-plus times was impressive. So this is a team they're going to be able to defend. I'm interested to see State's physicality versus Ole Miss. I think State can be the more physical team. How is this game called? Are they going to call it close? Are they going to let Mississippi State play physical? That, for the most part, I felt like they were letting Kentucky and State play pretty physical.
Mm-hmm.
At Vanderbilt, not so much.
Right.
But State found a way in that game. South Carolina, kind of the same thing. They let State play physical. Their State was very aggressive getting to the rim. It's going to be interesting to see the chess match between Chris Beard and Chris Jans and how they defend each team. I don't think that Ole Miss's three-point shooting is quite what we saw with Kentucky and Auburn, but they're very capable.
Yeah.
It's a team that they can make three-point shots, shooting 35% as a team right now. And let's say in SEC play, haven't yet had a, 10 plus like we've seen the last 2 weeks, but they did do that a few times in non-conference play. They even hit 15 against Purdue in that ball game where they came up just shy of winning that game. Mm-hmm. But that hasn't really been – they don't really rely too heavily on it. It's not like they're, just settling a lot for those three-pointers. So State's going to need to win the boards on both ends. Offensively, I think, is big too.
Which is something you can do against Ole Miss. They are not a great rebounding
team. Not a great rebounding team. They did rebound it pretty well against Bama. But again, a lot of this, a lot of what they did, a lot of their production from a rebounding perspective and also, offensively, it came from Malik Dia.
Mm-hmm.
In 31 minutes, he had 23 points and 19 rebounds.
Yeah.
Nobody else had more than 5 rebounds on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I think taking him out of the game is the biggest thing. I like some of their pieces, but I don't know if they can win without Malik Dia taking over a ball game or scoring 20 plus points.
And so that
Matthew Morrell has not really been Matthew Morrell.
Been injured.
Yeah, I think he's a little banged up. And of course, now that I mentioned that, he's going to come out and score 40. But
you know how this series goes. Pick somebody who you don't expect.
Yeah,
this year? Yeah,
let's see who we can get down here.
Well, I asked the
Eduardo Klafk or whatever, the guy that's from Brazil, or what is that? Is that the guy from Brazil?
Yes,
yes. That's the guy that's going to go off in this game.
Do you know what they say about him? Well, you know what?
It better not.
It better not. This Ole Miss team, like I said, confidence is not going to be an issue for them. Their backcourt, and I include Morrell in that, is really good. Padula is their leading scorer. Juju Murray, we all know about him. Morrell is only averaging 11.5 a game, but like I said, been battling some injuries this year. He's only played 13 of the 17 games. He's only started 12 of them. So he's still trying to get his feet underneath him a little bit. This is a balanced Ole Miss team. We mentioned Dia. In conference play, he's their leading scorer. On the season, he's only averaging just under 10 a game. He's starting to figure some things out. He's starting to get used to the physicality of playing at this level after coming over from Belmont. And Brakeville is a guy you know can get double digits for you. He's averaging just under 10 a game as well. So this is a really good scoring team.
Do you try to get him in foul trouble?
Do you?
Yeah.
It's kind of tough to do.
Like, are you playing into,
Well, the problem with that is, so with Dia, if you're going to do that, it means Nwoko and Murphy really have to step up for you.
Yeah.
Cam Matthews. Getting to the lane, but he can't allow him to block shots the way that Auburn was able to.
And also, who are you guarding him with? Is it a Nwoko guard, or are you going a little smaller with Cam?
I think you probably want Cam or Morrell, don't you? Or maybe I guess Melendez gives you some versatility there. He could do it. Maybe Claude Hill Harris. I don't know, but
you probably got Hub on Juju Murray.
Yeah,
I imagine.
And Harris on Padula.
Harris is probably on Padula, and then
Melendez,
Riley Kugel. If McCougal comes in, is probably on Padula too.
Yeah, and that's a matchup I like for State because Padula is not the physical guy that Riley Kugel is. We're making the assumption he's going to play. We feel like that's the case. They haven't released the injury report as of yet, but
one thing that was impressive the other night is that Ole Miss didn't turn the ball over, and they forced a ton.
Yeah,
so they take care of the basketball pretty well, and they force turnovers. They'll get in there and defend. Mm-hmm. And like I said, second half has been their half. Like that's mm-hmm. been when they really turn it up. So for State, winning the second half is going to be huge in this game. But I also feel like they need to get a good start because you don't want to give Ole Miss that momentum going into the half with a lead.
Right.
Because this is a team that they, like I said, they get stronger as the game goes on. You want to come out and punch them in the mouth early, and they haven't had a whole lot of true road games. Memphis was one of them where they got punched in the mouth and they just never recovered.
Yeah.
That's the kind of game State's got to have. And the key for Memphis, I thought, in that ball game was they were hitting shots.
Yeah.
State's got to be able to start hitting some shots here. They're not.
And it goes back to the last thing I wanted to talk about with you is Hubbard.
Yeah.
State absolutely needs him to shake off whatever this funk that he's in and start hitting shots again. And this will be a good opportunity for him against Ole Miss, a chance to put everything behind him and have a big game against a ranked opponent at home.
Yeah, it's huge. I really felt like State, even if Josh Hubbard wasn't playing well, would be okay. But when you're hampered like this physically at the guard position, you don't have a Kanye Clary, we don't know about Kugel, it's almost impossible now. Like, mm-hmm. if you don't have somebody that can step in there like a Kugel and supply the points that you're losing on these missed shots by Josh Hubbard, and even getting rebounds, offensive boards, which I don't think has been an issue for State. I mean, they rebounded the ball fairly well against Auburn, so that wasn't really the problem. But, you know, there's just – you got to have as many pieces being able to score the basketball as possible. Mm. And State desperately needs Riley Kugel to play in this game and play well. Mm-hmm. And they desperately need Josh Hubbard to play in this game and play well. He will be playing, but they need him to have a good game.
Yeah.
And it's not just to beat Ole Miss. It's to get back on track and get back to where you want to be in this league, because you have tough games coming down the road. This game is very big for Mississippi State. What they got, I don't think it's the end of the world if they lose, but it certainly hampers you. And they really need this one. And to get there, I feel like they need Josh Hubbard to play well.
I agree with you 100%. All right, let's get the Ole Miss side of things. I talked earlier with Michael Borky, my co-host on Sports Talk Mississippi, to get his perspective on this Saturday's matchup between Mississippi State and Ole Miss. All right, so let's look at this from the Ole Miss side of things with Michael Borky, Sports Talk Mississippi, the Rebel Report podcast, and just all-around nice guy. Very misunderstood is Michael Borky.
Misunderstood? Oh, yeah, misunderstanding?
They hate you. I'm always taking up for you.
Why?
Because you know why.
But it shouldn't be that way.
Have you been around this country the last few months? Right? Get labeled, man. That's what you are. So
I understand message board said there was only one time where a message board poster took it like five steps too far.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, I understand.
There you go. All right. Ole Miss basketball this year. You know, when they lost to Memphis a few weeks back, I was very interested to see how they would start SEC play. Because, and we talked about it on the show, like when they make shots, they're tough to beat, but when they don't, they can be in trouble. They've made shots these first four games. They've been able to play really good offense, but they've also played really good defense in that time, and it was really encapsulated in what they did in Tuscaloosa. They harassed that Alabama team. That's an Alabama team that averages close to 90 a game. And they held them to what, 64? That's one of the best performances in Ole Miss basketball history that we just saw Tuesday night. Where is this team right now? They've got to be riding a high right this second.
Got to be riding a high. And it's defense that's really carrying them. And that is, I don't know if I should say that I'm surprised that defense is carrying them, considering, you know, it's the kind of the style of play that Chris Beard wants to play. And then he brings in Mark Adams, who is a defensive expert, and then they start playing better defense. 1 + 1 = 2. But doing it without a true, like, dominating big is what is impressive. Now, don't get me wrong. Malik Dia was dominating, and he is 6'9", 240 pounds. But they don't have, like, that 7'2" shot blocker, just like this gigantic guy in the middle that alters every shot. They're doing it with great defense from their guards, and they're disrupting passing lanes, and they're really good at anticipating what their opponent's going to do. But like Sears, you mentioned Alabama. Sears was, forgive my language, he was in hell all night because of Padula and Matt Morrell, and they would not let him get anything at all.
Family program, Borky. What are we doing here?
I know.
You're going to get emails again.
But that's what it is. I mean, defense is carrying them. They're forcing turnovers. All four of their SEC opponents have shot below their season average against Ole Miss. They are a top 15 team in the country in forcing turnovers. Their turnover margin is one of the better ones in the country, and that's why they're 4-0. That's why they were able to beat Alabama. They're rarely, if ever, giving up like a clean look because of a missed assignment or a bad rotation. It's a bunch of guys that clearly know what they're supposed to be doing and are confident in what they're doing. And as a result, they're 4-0 in league play.
And you mentioned turnovers, and Ole Miss really good at creating them. Mississippi State really good at not having them. This game against Auburn was really the first game where State wasn't on the good side of assist to turnover ratio. Is that where we got to look at for this game? If Ole Miss can create turnovers, they're probably going to win. If State protects the basketball, they're probably going to win.
It turnover margin is going to be huge because Ole Miss also protects the basketball well. So they're good at not turning it over, and they create turnovers. And that'll be the thing, right? That is, quite frankly, they go through stretches offensively where they can't buy a basket. And the only thing that has kept them in these games is because they're limiting possessions, they're limiting shots from their opponents, they're forcing those turnovers. That they went on a 6-minute scoring drought against LSU. Through 5 minutes in Tuscaloosa, they were down two. They only scored 2 points. So they go through these weird stretches without scoring, but the only thing keeping them in these games is they're forcing turnovers, and that really helps them offensively as well, is getting out in fast break and getting easy looks at the basket. So if Mississippi State's going to protect the basketball, it'll be really tough for Ole Miss because they have not had a consistent scoring offensive game since they played Louisville earlier this year. I mean, definitely not in SEC play. So protecting the basketball is paramount for Mississippi State. If they don't turn it over, if they have five turnovers in this game, they're winning.
Yeah. It's been a tough year for Matthew Morrell, one of the best players in the SEC, but he's battled some injuries this year. Is he starting to come back into form a little bit? Are you starting to see the real Matthew Morrell these past couple games?
Yeah, and what's interesting is he's fitting into a role that is working, but it's not the one that you expected him to have. You figured he'd be like the high-volume shooter, the guy that they would lean on for points. What he's doing is he's kind of facilitating offense. He's being patient. He's not taking many shots. He's not a high-volume shooter for this team. What he's doing is playing great defense. I mean, that is really where he has shined lately. Physically, he is back to 100%. There was, I guess, his second game back, he went up for a dunk and got blocked by the rim. And you thought, I think it was the Georgia game, and you thought, ooh, that knee's not ready yet because he can dunk a basketball. And in that moment, it looked like maximum effort, and he didn't get up to dunk the basketball. He's back to full health, but they are not depending on him for scoring. He's not getting up many shots. But, I mean, he's productive. He's a 12-point-per-game guy. Where he's helping this team is physical defense, disrupting passing lanes, and being selective with when he attacks the basket. It is very interesting. I did not see him in this role for this team, but he is not the volume guy in this offense.
Let's talk a little bit more about Malik Dia because, I mean, you see the line that he had against Alabama, and you're like, my goodness, what happened there? He's not the leading scorer for this Ole Miss team. He's way down the list on that. Is he a guy that, you know, it took some time to get used to the way SEC play and the way teams play at this level were going to be for him, and now he's starting to figure it out, and he's becoming a force?
Yeah, he's doing apparently he's doing different things. They're asking him to do different things than what he did at Belmont last year.
Right.
And apparently it's just taken him a while to kind of figure out, okay, I'm going to play the five, but I'm a stretch five, and this is what I need to do. You saw a non-conference play. There'd be random 5 minutes of, whoa, this guy's awesome. And then he would disappear. It'd be like these 5 minutes of brilliance where you saw so much potential, and then it just wouldn't last for 35 minutes. It would just be little spurts. For whatever reason, he's put it all together, and he's going to be a very difficult defend for anybody because I don't think yet he's an NBA player. I don't know if the athleticism is there to be one, but he's got an NBA game, right? He can make outside shots, and for a State fan that hasn't watched Ole Miss play yet, he's a three-point shooter, a career 34% three-point shooter, so good at it.
Yeah.
He does not jump when he takes three-point shots. He is flat-footed and shoots flat-footed three-point shots. It is wild. But he's tall enough to where they don't get blocked. He gets away with it. But he can make outside shots. He can put the ball down and dribble and beat people off the dribble. He can make mid-range shots, and he's really good and skilled around the basket. He's got a great offensive skill set. And I don't know what it is that unlocked it, but he finally brought some attitude with that skill set and is physically matching up well. So that'll be a big challenge for State because he's a difficult defend. He's going to draw State's bigs out to the three-point line and try to beat them off the dribble because he can do it. So if they're able to limit that, though, and make somebody else beat them, they're going to have a really good chance because to this point, you've had nice flashes from Padula and Morrell and Brakefield, and some of these guys have done nice things, none of them consistently the way Dia has so far in conference play.
If both teams play their best game on Saturday, who wins?
Ooh, that's a great question. Probably State. I think if State plays their best, I think they're going to win the game. Have we seen Ole Miss play their best yet? Which I know that's a dumb thing to say because they just beat Alabama and Tuscaloosa, but they did it on one side of the ball. They did it because they forced Alabama only scored 64 points in the game. Ole Miss's shooting splits were not good. But yeah, I do think if State's healthy and they play their best basketball and Hubbard starts taking smarter shots and they don't shoot, what was it, 12% from three like they did at Auburn, I think State's going to win this game on Saturday.
One last question. You know, we do this all the time with football, but we'll bring it to basketball. We talk about an X factor, right? And, you know, we're not going to talk about Morrell or Brakefield or Padula. Who's somebody on that Ole Miss bench or somebody in that roster that could be a different? You know, it could be. I go back a year ago with T.J. Caldwell having a huge game in Oxford. I mean, he had his career game, and that was a big reason why Ole Miss was able to get the win over State in Oxford. Who could that player be for Ole Miss this weekend?
Dre Davis, I think he's the guy that is going to get the Cam Matthews assignment as well for Ole Miss. He's a big guard. He's a 6'6", really long guard, really athletic, and he can score some too. But again, in this, for whatever reason, this team they're not highly productive offensively for whatever reason. But Dre Davis is long. He's athletic. He's a good defender. I think that's going to be the guy. That's going to get the Cam Matthews assignment, and he's the one that is – he and Mekeil Brown-Jones, who should be back for this game for Ole Miss, we'll see. But that will be the guy. If Ole Miss wins, I think Davis is going to have a good day because I think he's their best option that is physically equipped to play with Cam Matthews and can do similar things that Matthews does, you know, rebounding, defense, being able to switch. That's what Ole Miss does defensively as well, Elias. They switch. Everybody switches constantly because they have guys that can do it. Davis is the one, though, that I think that they're going to try to keep on Cam Matthews for 40 minutes.
Massive game at the Humphrey Coliseum. I believe this is the first time ever both teams have been ranked playing this game. That's an incredible stat, if true. I need to do a little more research, but I'm pretty sure that that's accurate.
A lot of pressure on the Bulldogs, I think, in this one, huh?
A lot of pressure on State. And you talked about free shots on Tuesday's show, and I sort of pushed back at that a little bit. I was like, you know, these teams, they need to play well. State did not, and then Ole Miss goes and gets the win. Now Ole Miss really has a free shot. Whatever happens. You don't want to lose to State because it's your rival, but at the same time, if you're 5-1, who cares?
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, coming back with A&M at home, too, on Wednesday of next week, you're fine.
Yeah, you should be okay. State, on the other hand, it's too early to say must win, but need to win is definitely the case for Mississippi State in this one. We'll talk a lot more about it on Sports Talk Mississippi on Thursday and on Friday. Please tune in for those shows. That's where you can find Michael Borky and, of course, the Rebel Report podcast as well. Thanks, buddy.
Of course. And y'all be nice to me. I'm nice to you.
It's true.
That was so lame.
Thanks to Borky. Appreciate him. Plenty of talk about this game on Thursday and Friday, Sports Talk Mississippi. So tune into those if you missed the show. Podcast is always available to you. Women play on Saturday, Mississippi State versus Ole Miss. State, we are recording on Thursday, so State's playing at Tennessee tonight. Do you know who Ole Miss has off the top of your head?
I don't.
What if I had a device?
You do have a device.
They are playing Florida.
Okay. At Florida, at home?
They're at home.
Yeah, they should win that one easily, I would think.
Yeah, the Gators 11-7 on the
year. They're not very good.
So, you know, Purcell and Coach Yeo split last season. 2 years ago, she got both, didn't she, his first year?
State should have won that one in Oxford last year. Just kind of folded
had
down
the stretch. Had an eight-minute point lead with a minute or so to go?
Yeah, it was. I mean, they were in full control, and they just couldn't run it out. And
that was
lost
the first game where that started to happen, right? Where you know, State was in a good spot. They had just beaten LSU, and you feel like they're going to make their way to the NCAA tournament. They lost that game, and then they had two or three more losses after that that were similar, where the State had they had a late lead and let it get away.
Yeah, that is something that they've really got to avoid here because I think the schedule sets up kind of similar to last year, and that the back half of the schedule is much more manageable.
Mm-hmm.
So if they get some wins here early on, they've got to be able to maintain that. Last year they weren't able to do it. That was a big game to get, and they couldn't get it. That would have been a quad one win. And this one's going to be a quad one game here. State has kind of they've made up a little bit of ground, but they're still sitting there. They're number 32 in the net, I think, last I checked. And that's down from where they were in non-conference play when they got in the top 25. So this is a big, big game for them on Sunday, too, and so is Thursday night. You know, we haven't got to that yet as we record, but that was going to be very difficult. This is a Tennessee team averaging over 90 a game, one of the best in the country and turning teams over, too. So, you know, there's no point in us previewing it. But after that game, you got Ole Miss on Sunday, and it's kind of like the men. It just really feels like a big game early on in the schedule for Mississippi State. They really need to get this one.
So how do these two teams match up then for Mississippi State and Ole Miss? You know, who has the advantage coming into this game here in Starkville?
It's hard to say. You know, this Ole Miss team I thought would be a little bit better than they are this year.
Yeah, they're 11-5, five losses.
Yeah, and, you know, lost to Alabama the other day without Jay Barker's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably their best player, and she was out of the game, and they still lost. And then, you know, they also lost – who else did they lose in conference play so far? I can't remember. But it's just not – it's not the team I thought it was going to be, because they have several players back from last year and that have been on this – been in this program for
lost
several
A&M.
Years. A&M, that was a bad loss. Yeah. A&M's not that great. And they blew a big lead in that game, too.
Mm.
So they're kind of behind the eight ball here, but they've been a team that last few years they've kind of found a way to steady it out. And they have some good players there. They've just, during Yo's tenure, they've been really good defensively, but they haven't really had a lot of offensive pieces. They'll have like one or two players that they turn to, and if those players get shut down, they really struggle. So for Mississippi State, it's about taking some of those players out of it, you know, and maybe trying to force them to shoot from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a good game plan against Ole Miss in recent years,
mm-hmm.
because they're a physical team. They like to get it in the post. They like to try to finish down low, kind of try to close off the paint. I think Medina Okot will be able to do that. She's just got to stay out of foul trouble. So if State can hit shots, if they can protect the basketball, and if they can protect the paint on the defensive end, I think they got a good shot in this game. But State needs to play well. They do. I think playing at home will be good, too, to have the home court environment behind them. And, you know, people usually show up for that Ole Miss game.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the Cotton District. This weekend, if you're going to be in Starkville for basketball, you've got to make a trip to Two Brothers. You've got to go over there and get some smoked Southern soul food. Fantastic eating right there at Two Brothers. Or you can head over to the Older Brother for the fanciest of sandwiches. Or check out their dinner menu. Apparently, they got a lot. I need to know more about the dinner menu. If you're listening, Barton, Terry, let me know more about the dinner menu so I can talk it up, because what we're seeing out of it looks fantastic. So for dinner on the weekends or lunch any day during the week, a trip to the Older Brother is always a great idea. The Older Brother, Two Brothers Smoked Meats, right there in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50.
All right. When you need new technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, it's just a phone call away. The same people who made the sale with you. So you already have that relationship. You're not on hold for 45 minutes. You're not talking to somebody you've never talked to before. They're not making an appointment that somebody can be there in a week or two. Imagine if your copier or your printers break and you need it replaced, and they tell you a week. How can your business survive like that? You shouldn't have to. That's why you deal with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the hump this Saturday, you need to make a trip over to Maroon & Co. You need some new gear? They've got it at Maroon & Co. They've got the logos that you want. They've got a bigger and better selection than anybody else here in Starkville. They've got the Bulldog Initiative gear. They've got the custom cowbells made by the Bellsmith. They've got stuff you can't find anywhere else. It's only at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code to save a little money. In-store or online, it's THUNDER15 for 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. When you come to Starkville this weekend, make sure you make a trip over to Maroon & Co. Robbie, do you want to talk coming in or going out first? Yeah, I'll let you pick.
Going out.
We were very surprised yesterday to see that Stone Blanton, Mississippi State linebacker, has made a decision to enter the NFL draft. I got to be honest with you, Robbie. I like Stone Blanton. Seems like a nice enough kid. Wish him the best. But I have no idea what the thought process is on this. I cannot imagine him being drafted. I feel like he's a long shot to get a free agent deal. He would have had a very cushy NIL deal here at Mississippi State. This feels like a really, really odd decision to me.
Yeah, I don't know what his dynamics are, or what his thought process is on this to truly like bash him. Or I'm not going to bash him or anything like that.
Right.
I just strictly objectively talking about this and looking at the prospects of Stone Blanton and the opportunities that he would have next year here, it's just kind of hard to understand what's going into that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's a personal decision that he and his family kind of have to come to grips with or whatever. But I don't see the true benefit from it. Unless there's like some reason that he's having to leave or he can't come back or something, which I don't.
Yeah, I can't imagine
know
been
what,
pushed out. I mean, processed.
I don't know what
any sense.
I don't know what that would be, and I haven't been led to believe that that's the case. So, if this was advice that someone gave him, if this is somebody saying, "Hey, you need to just go ahead and go to the NFL," I think that's bad advice.
Feels like bad advice.
Like, let's just be real about this. Now, we thought it was bad advice for Boniquez Brown to mm-hmm. declare for the draft.
Yeah,
and Darunya Wilson and Josh Robinson, and I think Brandon Bryant.
Like, yeah.
These are all guys that I think have actually better pro prospects about them. And I'm not taking a shot at Stone, but these are players that had a better shot, I think, from physicality standpoint, just measurables, talent, all that stuff. And Stone was really good for Mississippi State this year. I don't see a way into the draft.
When you look at linebackers, Boniquez Brown was a better linebacker than Stone Blanton was. There's just no getting around that fact.
Yeah.
It's a fact. And so for him to leave and in a year where, early in the year he played poorly. There's just no getting around that. He played better towards the end of the year, but there was never a point where I would sit there and tell you that he played well,
yeah.
that he played great at any point.
Had a lot of tackles, but
that is just because that defense is on the field so much.
Right.
The defensive linemen weren't doing anything, so he was just there.
I mean,
it's just a very confusing and you're talking about catching. I, when I saw it, I was just like, this can't be right. I can't be reading this correctly. And it is, apparently.
There's people I talked to at Mississippi State that were shocked.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even know it was coming. And I think the graphic was a Mississippi State related graphic, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of people at Mississippi State that did not expect it. So it seemed like it came kind of out of left field. But, this has kind of been, Stone Blanton's kind of been like this.
Yeah.
In high school, he commits to Mississippi State and baseball, and then he gets some opportunities in football. We hear about, he's a lifelong Mississippi State fan, all this stuff. And then he goes to South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's a captain at South Carolina starting.
Yeah.
And then he decides in a transfer portal, comes to Mississippi State. We hear about this is his dream to play for Mississippi State, and after a year, he's going to the NFL draft. He's not on any projections anywhere. I haven't heard anybody, talking about him as far as a, potential late draftee, anything. It's going to be hard for him to make a roster.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, even if he's on a practice squad, you're talking about, how much do they make? 50 to 60,000.
Let me see here. NFL practice squad salary. No, they do all right. But I mean, how many weeks out of the year is that? A rookie earns a minimum of $12,500 a week.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's not bad. Look, it's good money.
Because you don't know how long you're going to be on the practice squad.
On the course of an 18 week regular season, you can make as little as $225.
So that's not bad.
But that's banking on making the practice squad. That's not going to be easy for him. And on top of that, 225, I would be willing to hazard a guess that he could have made that plus some at Mississippi State
yeah.
NIL.
Yeah.
So
starting linebacker in the SEC.
Just a very surprising decision.
And it's just, when you have guys like Carson Beck that are turning down, we know Carson Beck would have been drafted.
Yeah.
I don't know where, but he would have been drafted this year and probably, you know, he's going to be a millionaire. He's staying in college to make more money. So to me, I don't know if it's a money thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody giving advice to a player that we think is going to have trouble getting drafted plus making a roster is doing their due diligence. If you think that player who's a starter in the SEC at linebacker is going to make more money in the NFL when at best you think it's probably going to be a practice squad than he will in college.
Yeah.
That's negligence. I don't understand the thought process.
Yeah.
But like I said, with Stone, like everybody has their reasons for stuff. Maybe he's just ready to be done with college, and that's perfectly fine. If you're just ready to start your career, if you're just ready to, I understand. I think he's engaged, about to get married. And by the way, Stone is a excellent dude, class individual, really good guy, and I know of his fiance's family too, in Madison's. So great people. I don't want to disparage their name or anything like that. We're just strictly talking about the decision here. I don't know what it is. I don't know like what went into it. So I can't speak with confidence that this is a terrible decision, like some people are saying.
Yeah.
A terrible decision for us might not be a terrible decision for someone else. So
all we can do is look at it from the perspective that we have.
Yeah.
And that
on paper, it seems like there's going to be some money left out, some opportunity. I mean, who knows what he could do with another year? I certainly think there's a ceiling there as far as his talent.
Right.
Like, I don't know if he'll ever be a Brian Urlacher.
Right. No.
So, no. Like, I don't know how much he could improve by coming back, but he could certainly make some more money. But, you know, it's not our place to say you're a dummy, terrible decision, or whatever.
Not anything like that. I just,
I'm speaking like, for everybody, that because in my mentions it was a crap
football,
show.
As I watch a guy who watches football, and I feel like I know enough about the game to tell you that he's not going to get drafted.
Yeah.
So it's going to become, can he get a free agent deal and make a practice squad? I mean, we're not talking about, you know, getting a rookie camp invite and
maybe this is just testing the waters. I don't like
that. Doesn't make any sense because they give you those grades.
It happens all the time. Colin Hill did it. I think Errol Thompson did it. I mean,
I think those guys were going to leave, and then when the state hired Mike Leach, they were willing to come back.
I don't think that was it.
You don't think?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No. So maybe he decides to come back. I don't know. But as of right now, it just seems a little like – it seems like he got some bad advice.
Yeah. All right. The other side of it, coming in, Mississippi State finally gets the commitment from Georgia transfer wideout Anthony Evans, a battle with SMU. We saw Robbie's guy Hayes Fawcett with the graphic tweet letting you know that the deal was done, and he will that is, you know, the final piece, I feel like, for Mississippi State in the transfer portal until we get out of the spring window. They may still add a piece or two on signing day, which is, you know, it's hard to believe there's another signing day coming. There may literally
I don't
only
know
be
who's going to take part in that.
The only guy that I think that's available for State to get is the JUCO cornerback,
mm-hmm.
Lawton. So the State, you did an article today on 3-9 total receivers in this new class. I mean, they really reshaped that room when you think, you know, Whittemore, Harrell leave via the portal. Coleman leaves via the portal. Akari goes to the draft. Craver into the portal. Burnside looks like he's moving over to defense. Jaden Wally out of eligibility. They had to find a lot of guys. It's all about potential with this group, though. The production is not huge, but I feel like with Evans, maybe with Brennan Thompson, Aiden Williams, you've got some guys who have some high ceilings. It's going to be on Jeff Lebby, Chad Bumpus to get those guys there.
Yeah, no doubt. It is definitely a coin toss, a roll of the dice, if you will, whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
there's not a ton of production, at least not in the Power Four, from these players. You know, we've seen some production from guys like Marcus Allen. I thought, you know, he did some good things last year for Eastern Michigan. But whenever he was at Wisconsin, there was nothing to really point to. And so it's certainly, you know, we don't really know what's going to happen. You know, Anthony Evans had 9 catches last year. But like I talked about in the article I wrote, there wasn't a ton of production that Mississippi State had coming into last year either.
Right.
One of the things
Akari
that
Akari had it.
Akari had it, and he, you know, he was like 3rd or 4th among Mississippi State receivers.
Yeah.
So, you know, you look at it, true freshman Mario Craver had proven nothing. Kevin Coleman had over 300 yards at Louisville. You added almost 50 catches in 1 year for Kevin Coleman from what he had the previous season. You added, what do you have? Over 900 yards. So
just over 900, I believe.
So almost 600 more yards receiving for him last year at the slot position. So what Chad Bumpus is seeing here is he and Jeff Lebby are going out and getting talented players, whether they have production or not, guys that have speed.
Speed, yeah.
Guys that have – some of them have measurables. Aiden Williams is 6'2", 6'3". I think Marcus Allen and Jahron Glover, bigger receivers.
Yeah.
And then you got Brennan Thompson on the outside that is essentially kind of a replacement for Craver.
Right.
He is the burst guy. He's the guy that you're running post patterns and fly patterns and all that. You're running that with him, chucking it down the field and see if he can pick up 30 yards.
Yeah.
So I think, like I talked about in the article, I think that Lebby should be given a little bit more grace when it comes to these receivers, because almost everywhere he's been, he's taking guys that were unproven or had very little production or whatever. And the first year they come in, or the second year or whatever, when they got those opportunities, they put up big numbers. He's produced numbers everywhere he's been. Hadn't really mattered who's at receiver. So I'm not sitting here going to project Anthony Evans to be Kevin Coleman 2.0,
right,
pushing for 1,000 yards. But do I think he can be 500 plus? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he can do that. I think he can make that kind of jump.
Well, I mean, we talked about it last year that in this offense, there's always one receiver who's going to have a monster year. And so
somebody, and most of the time it's the slot.
Yeah. So somebody on this offense is going to have that year. And we'll see if it's Anthony Evans or if it's Aiden Williams or whoever it is. But
another thing I think you have to take into account is I think the State's running game is going to be significantly better early on in the season. They were non-existent in the first few games.
Yeah.
I mean, no, they didn't do anything. And I still don't know like what the blame is there. I don't know if it's just early in the process of the offense, if it's quarterback play, is it offensive line play, the running backs? I don't know. I don't think it had anything to do with Blake Shapen.
Right.
But I think this year they're going to get off to a much better start, and that should change the way that your receivers play. I mean, that takes a little bit of pressure off of them. You got to – defenses have to account for the running game a little bit. You lure teams to sleep. You run a little play action, whatever, and you have a guy like Brennan Thompson down the field, or you know, even Jordan Mosley, I think, could be. I know people are tired of hearing that, but Mosley was significantly better in this offense than he was the first 2 years.
He was. I think that's a function of being healthy too.
He had over 400 yards receiving. First 2 years, he had 5 catches.
Yeah.
He
if Jordan Mosley is your 4th or 5th receiver, you're in really good shape.
Yeah.
If he's your top guy, you got a problem.
Yeah, and I don't think he will be.
Not either.
I think I feel like we have enough evidence the slot's probably going to get a lot of play in this. And so that I have high expectations for Anthony Evans. That's why you recruited him. They don't really have anybody else they feel great about at that position. You know, Ricky Johnson, I know that they're really high on him and they think that he's going to take a step. But the biggest thing is whether they had production or not, you got talent in here I don't think you can argue that.
Right.
They got guys with speed. They got guys that can get open. That, to me, is the most important thing. And, you know, whether you have the production or not, you would much rather have the production. But if you're telling me that you can go get a slot that has 600, 700 yards and five touchdowns at, you know, a group of five school or a lower level, and maybe not be as fast or shifty or whatever as Anthony Evans, I think I'm going to take a flyer on Evans. You know, like, I'm going to take a flyer on the more talented kid. And I think that's what they got with him. And so we'll see how it plays out. But I feel a lot better about this wide receiver group after getting Aiden Williams and Anthony Evans than I did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's still, I mean, we just don't know because neither one of them have really produced that much. You know, I think Aiden Williams had 9 catches in 2 years. Anthony Evans had 9 last year for 88 yards.
Yeah.
But I think you have to look at that in context. Aiden Williams was playing in a crowded wide receiver room where they just don't get the ball around to a lot of different receivers. We see the tight end get involved. We see running backs. But there's like 3 receivers that are getting the bulk of the catches, and there's one guy that's getting a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you talk about Anthony Evans, I just don't like that offense. Yeah. I don't like Mike Bobo's offense. And he was also playing in a pretty crowded receiver room. So more opportunities and a more wide receiver-friendly offense, I think, could do wonders for both of those guys.
I agree. We'll see how it all pans out. As I said, now the roster is pretty much set for you going into spring football. So it is what it is at this point, and we'll see if they can bring anybody in of consequence after spring.
Need probably another offensive lineman, corner.
Yeah.
Corner or two.
One last thing before we get out of here. I don't know if you got this or not. I got one. The poll, the survey for Mississippi State regarding Super Bulldog weekend. What are your thoughts on that? So basically, if you didn't get this, I guess you only get it if you've ever bought season tickets or if you're a Bulldog club member or anything like that. They offered 3 options for Super Bulldog weekend. One option was early May. I don't remember the other stuff going on that weekend. It was the Kentucky. It was South Carolina, I think, for that one. Or maybe it was Kentucky. It's one of the two. The middle one was the Florida weekend that we kind of considered that was going to be it. That's when the spring game will be. It's also Easter weekend, so I understand why some people might not want that. Then that's also the Cotton District Arts Festival, which I'm glad to see is moving back to Super Bulldog weekend. I never understood having it when there wasn't something going on. And then the last one was the other series was Kentucky, I believe, and that's also the weekend of the Starkville Derby that we all love so much. What were your thoughts? I thought it was interesting that you only get one option with football. So football is going to be, if it's not Super Bowl all weekend, it doesn't matter. The spring game is still going to be April the 17th.
Yeah. Well, that's the day my child's supposed to be born.
So you're going to vote for one of these other days, aren't you?
Yeah, well, so I was talking to somebody the other day in the athletic department about this as they were kind of gauging my thoughts too on it. I think they've talked to several people about it just to kind of get some thoughts because
– yeah.
The athletic department and MSU are not sure either. That's why they sent out a survey, because they want to get fans' opinions on it. I understand I'm a very religious person. I hold my faith dear to me, and Easter is the Super Bowl for Christians. So, you know,
I was hoping you were going to say WrestleMania. Cause I could have asked, is Christmas SummerSlam?
Yeah, so, you know, I'll be taking part in both. I mean, that's just I don't take the day off on Easter. Mississippi State is usually playing a game on Easter Sunday anyway. I have no issue with it being on Easter weekend. I understand the people that get really upset about that, but I think regardless of what happens, Duty Noble is going to be packed.
Yeah.
I mean – that it just is what it is. That Saturday, especially, it will be packed. And there's a lot of people that get upset about it that, you know, they don't truly, I don't know if they're going to skip out on it anyway on Easter Sunday. But I understand, like, there's going to be students out probably that weekend, whatever. But there's just not, I don't know if there's a good time in any of those three. Because The Easter weekend is the best time to do it in terms of matching it with the Cotton
game.
District Arts Festival
yeah.
and the football spring game. If you want to do it like you usually do it,
it has to be
that's
Easter
the time
weekend.
It needs to be.
Yeah.
And that's the time
well,
where it usually
are you
is.
Kind of surprised that like there's no flexibility with football to say, let's start spring practice later as we can do it on this weekend in May?
Well, you get a certain amount of practices, right?
Right, but you
so
could.
He's already got
But
Lebby's.
that's what I'm saying. You can change. You could say, okay, let's say you're scheduled to start practice. I'm just making a day up, right? March 2nd, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling me that they can't say, well, we'll start at March 16th instead?
Yeah, they could easily do that.
But what,
I just think they're probably just like, this is when we want to do it.
I guess.
So,
that's odd, though, to me. And another thing that's odd, why not make it Ole Miss weekend?
What weekend is that?
That's the weekend of May 9th, I believe.
I don't think they want to go that
Is that
deep.
Graduation weekend, maybe? I don't
know. I think they just want to keep it in that April, mid-April time frame.
Yeah.
And I know they got,
well,
you know, early
was the first
April,
weekend of May, the Kentucky one.
The early April one, and some of this is bad luck.
I want to double check
Some of this is just bad luck with the SEC schedule, and state doesn't have control over that.
Right.
But, you know, this is the best matchup out of all three of those. This is the best matchup. It's going to be probably a top 10 Florida team, I imagine, by that point.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the time where you, like I said, this is when you do it. So the good news for Mississippi State is they can pin this on the fans, whatever decision's made.
Yeah,
you guys wanted it.
Well, I mean, and we're making the assumption that they're going to go with whatever wins, too.
I figure they will heavily weigh it.
Yeah.
So because I don't think they would have put a survey out.
It's April 3rd through the 6th. So you have tennis, and you have two tennis teams at home and baseballs at home against South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
April 17th through the 20th, you have the spring football game, the Cotton District Arts Festival, and baseball versus Florida. May 1st through the 4th, you have softball at home with Ole Miss. Tennis is hosting the NCAA regional, or at least they expect it to. Baseball versus Kentucky, and then the Starkville Derby. It's interesting that softball is only on one of these weekends, too. I guess, again, that's the SEC scheduling, but
it's scheduling, yeah.
Just odd. Just odd.
Here, one thing I will say, and this is what I mentioned to the guy I talked to, was like, I want to stack as many big weekends as possible. I don't like in the spring doing everything at once.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want the Derby to be the same time as Super Bulldog weekend. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because first and foremost, football season was such a downer this year.
Yeah.
You probably lost a lot of money and revenue.
Yeah.
So try to make it back up as much as you can in basketball and baseball. And to do that, I think Derby being its own separate thing and then Super Bulldog weekend being its own separate thing is, I think, a good idea.
Another interesting thing here, Robbie. So it says spring football game, April 17th, 18th, or 19th. So they're saying it could be a Thursday or Friday spring game.
That is something that I was told they were weighing. They don't want to do that.
That feels like if you do it on the Thursday especially, you're not going to have anybody there.
They don't want to do that, but it's something they put out there to gauge interest.
It almost has to be Saturday.
It needs to be, yeah.
Working around the baseball game.
Yeah, so. I don't think people would really
nobody's coming up here on a Thursday for spring football.
You're handcuffing a lot of fans.
People come to the spring game because they're on campus and they want to see things. That's fine. Nobody's going to make a day ahead of time trip
right
to come watch a spring game.
So. Yeah, so go if you got that email, go vote on it. Tell them what
thoughts.
You think.
I'm not going to vote because I'm just like, I'll show up wherever.
I'll be there wherever
it
is.
Matter, so.
There's a box in there too, I think, to put comments, right?
Yeah, if you have attended Super Bowl all weekend before, what did you enjoy the most? And if you have attended, what improvements would you suggest? If you have the improvement box there, just put, we need LED lights and a better sound system in Davis-Wade Stadium.
Yes.
That's all you need to fill in. All right. Guys, back with you on Monday. We'll recap everything that happened with Mississippi State basketball, with these two games with Ole Miss, plus plenty more to talk about next week as we keep going. Have a great weekend, guys. Talk to you again soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.